This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. It's 7:06 in the morning, 25th of June 2022. I am Koo Soo Chung with Philip C. We are in the meantime, how did global markets close?
Well, US markets, I think, were recovering after the previous day's rout. The Dow was up 0.3%, S&P 500 up 0.3%, the Nasdaq was up 0.6%. Asia mostly was following the cue from the previous day in the US, although the Nikkei was up 0.2%. Hang Seng was down 1.2%. Singapore ST was down 0.4%. The Shanghai Composite up marginally by 0.04%. But back home, FBM KLCI down 0.3%.
And so we now turn to Joe Quinlan, the Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, to make sense of the financial markets, which have been gyrating in a seesaw way. Joe, the S&P was down by 4%, then recovered and closed higher. What do you make sense of all this, Joe? How does one trade these markets?
Very carefully, and with a neck brace. I mean, it's a roller coaster. A lot of volatility. But the days like today, you saw the violent swings. I think it's kind of your level set. Good nominal growth in the United States. We think inflation rolls over later this year, rolling over year over year. And, you know, really, at days like today, you want to go in and buy quality. High quality, big cap names, good balance sheets, good dividend payers, share buyback. So, you know, it's a volatile time. We know that. We've got the Fed talking on Wednesday. So these are days when you buy good quality large cap stocks.
So, of course, yesterday's note from J.P. Morgan's head of global strategy, Marco Kolanovich, he said that it's interesting because he said that market worries and selling has been overdone. The recent pullback could be an indication of oversold territory, and this could be the final stage of this correction. So Joe, if you are right, what kind of names would you buy? What are some of these blue chip names?
Well, I can't, for compliance reasons, I can't mention names. Let me talk about sectors. Technology, for instance. You know, last year, we talked all last year how expensive it was, overvalued. Well, now you're buying at a discount. We're still long-term big tech, mega tech companies. Energy as well. Energy, geopolitical risk, the electronic vehicles, you know, the renewables. That was what caused a lot of fossil fuels. We still like the financials. We're going to see interest rates back up here. The Fed's going to be more aggressive than we thought. So when you look at big tech, when you look at, say, energy, commodities in particular, and financials, this is a good place to put in some money to work.
So I wonder, Joe, you know, taking a bigger picture, we are entering earnings season, right? How important is this season actually in, you know, reflecting market sentiment? How important are earnings basically to drive forward? Because we expect the likes of Apple and Microsoft to release results this week.
Yeah, you know, usually when the tech in particular, I mean, the expectations are so high, they got to have a good number to reach, kind of clear that bar. This is going to be reversed. They've already been beaten up pretty badly, the technology sector. So any good news, I think, is going to drive stocks higher, prices higher. So, you know, earnings season in general, you know, banks had a bang-out year last year, but that's backward-looking. Now everyone's looking forward. The biggest thing not now is wage costs and other input costs, and that's a big issue. It's been a long time since we had to go to Wall Street and say, like, okay, tell us about your wage costs. And so last year we had a lot of pressure on inputs, you know, with raw materials, commodities. This year the pressure is on wages. And so it's going to be investors are very keen on how well are you managing the rising wage cost and what are you doing to offset that?
Yeah, and Joe, the Fed also meets, I think, on Wednesday. What kind of narrative or what kind of tone do you expect Jay Powell to take?
Well, you know, this all started on January 5th when we got the minutes from the Fed and it talked about tapering, tightening, and then, you know, quantitative tightening. So I think the Fed's got to calm the markets down. You know, the markets are manic anyways. But I don't think the Fed can be any hawkish than, say, the minutes from January 5th. So I think, you know, Jay Powell's got to kind of hit it down the middle. You know, he's going to be talking tough about inflation. He's going to be talking about tightening. I don't think he's going to do 50 basis points, be 25% incrementally. So I think he's, you know, the markets are manic. You've got to talk to people off the edge. But the hawkish tone is already priced in. So any kind of soothing effect could be very bullish for equities.
Yeah, so, you know, getting your perspective then on from shifting from equities to fixed income, you know, what do you think the FOMC meeting will do to fixed income markets then?
I think the Fed, I think, is going to strongly indicate that it's going to be looking to end the tapering sooner than expected. They're going to tighten in March. This is already priced in. So I think, you know, we stay elevated at these levels where we are in the 10-year yield. And I don't think, you know, we got maybe a little bit, you know, kind of yield flattening here, but nothing dramatic. So I think the Fed's got to, you know, kind of talk, kind of mark the market, and I think they will. I think the markets will take it in stride. I'm looking forward to the Fed communicating to the markets where they stand. They're on guard. They're ready to move. Yeah, that's what they want. I mean, the markets, you know, they're never happy, right? Mm. The Fed's behind the curve, now the Fed's in front of the curve. Like, you know, the market's never happy. So Jay Powell's got to deal with the psychos, market psychos, so to speak, and calm them down. And I think he will. Oh. We already had the hawkish tone out there.
Yeah, so, you know, putting a cool towel over our head, you know, what do you think the portfolio should be, you know, for institutional investors and even for retail investors going forward? Does the 60-40 rule still apply?
I don't know if, you know, traditional 60-40 works, you know, in general in this type of environment, even long-term investors. You know, but we still think for, you know, long-term, you know, capital gains for income, you want to own equities. We still think equities, whether it's, you know, U.S., non-U.S., Malaysia, Southeast Asia, good companies, good balance sheets, and be diversified within the equity bucket, whether it's technology, whether it's agriculture, whether it's aerospace, cybersecurity, healthcare, be diversified within the equities portion of the bucket. And fixed income for sure, but maybe it's like 25% instead of, you know, it depends on your needs, your income. You can get a lot of good income from dividend payers. A lot of their dividend, their bond proxies. Buy these, you know, utilities, staples, dividend payers, they're bond proxies. Let them do the work for you.
Yeah, lastly, Joe, how closely are financial markets watching what's happening in the Ukraine, given that the U.S. has now put, you know, 8,500 troops on standby for deployment?
I mean, the markets are very keen. We're watching it very carefully. You're seeing the dollar get a bid, gold bid up a little bit, energy prices pulled back a little bit here. The biggest issue for people here in the United States is, like, what's the cost of energy going to be? So we're watching it very carefully. You know, kind of, if there is a silver lining, you know, Russia is not terribly integrated into the world economy other than energy, ex-energy. And the Russian economy will pay a severe penalty if the U.S. goes after any type of products that are made there, semiconductors. So, you know, we're watching it very carefully, but we don't think there's bigger issues at home. Earnings, the Fed, inflation. There's bigger whales to watch here at home as opposed to geopolitics. But we're watching it very carefully for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Joe, thank you so much. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. I just got a sense that markets are just primed for a bit of a snapback because, I mean, yesterday, S&P been down 4% is
4%
a lot.
Is it's incredible,
lot.
Yeah.
And then they close in positives. You know, I think Joe is right. Jay Powell will try and calm the market. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that the Fed has been very closely hinged with markets for the last 12 years. They can't, you know, divorce, breakups are hard, you know. You can't have a divorce just like that overnight. It's very hard.
Yeah, I think this volatility might be unnerving a lot of investors. I think people are saying maybe I won't participate in the market, but there are also many who benefit from volatility as well across
Absolutely.
The board, isn't it?
So,
but I think what I think Jeff was also saying is that for him, Russia doesn't seem to be part of the equation that defines the volatility that's coming up because there's so many other uncertain factors coming through, right? You're seeing inflation still being an issue. You're still seeing basically the Fed decisions coming through, right? And I think the FOMC upcoming meeting is going to be very important and critical.
Absolutely, as will be the Apple earnings later this week and Tesla. And of course, Apple, well, both in fact are coming off the Christmas period, right?
Yeah.
There's bound to be some kind of news on the tech front.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.